Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. So, if you love to read and you have kids, this is the best show for you. If you love to read and have cats, this is a great show for you. Even if not, this is going to be a super fun show. So, stay tuned. I can't wait to introduce our guest today, and we'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Thomas Zoller. He is a comic artist and writer. Welcome, Tom.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you. So let's share with our listeners your background and maybe give them some graphics through the airwaves, if possible.
Well, I've been drawing all of my life. I can't remember ever not wanting to be a comic book artist. And I went to an art school in New Jersey called the Joe Kubert School, which is one of the few schools in the country that teach cartooning, which is why I moved there. I graduated after 3 years. I did caricatures. I worked at an ad agency, but along the way, I was always doing comics. And about 20 years ago, I finally went off completely on my own. I haven't looked back, even during some scary stuff during the pandemic, but I've been running my own company out of my house for the last 20 years, drawing comics. I write and draw for the My Little Pony comic book on occasion. I've done comics for Webtoon, a lot of romantic comedies, Warning Label, Cupid's Arrows. I have a superhero romantic comedy called Love and Capes. And then my latest one is for John Carpenter's comic company, the guy who wrote and directed The Thing and Halloween and Starman and all sorts of stuff. And it's The Ghost Whisperers, about a boy and his two cats who see ghosts.
Yep. And that's why you're on Catitude today, because we're going to talk all about it. Thanks for sharing all of that. I really liked your book. There's a lot of underlying threads through the book. It's not just a comic book about a boy and his cats.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot there. It's not a heavy book, but it's really interesting. So before we get into the details of the book, how did the ideas come to you? I'm an avid reader. I've been reading since I could read. Tons of books. My library card is my favorite card. I think it's more of a favorite card than my credit cards. So I love reading, and I'm always astonished how people come up with themes and stories. And then when you're a comic artist, you're a writer, you're doing both. You're doing everything. So how does this come about?
Oh, all sorts of ways, usually massive head trauma. But past that, I did a header out of a shopping cart when I was 2.5. And I think that that's how this whole path into cartooning got started, because I think you have to be a little not right in the head to go do cartooning. But yeah, sometimes I will take a story and I'll see something that pushes me in a different direction. Like I'll see a story and say, what if it were done this way? What if it were done a different way? The Ghost Whiskers, Sandy King, John's wife, was looking for a young reader's comic. And I was pitching her a bunch of different stuff. When she told me specifically what she wanted, I really thought about it. I have two cats. I have a nephew. And I put all those things together. And I was very much trying to do a young reader's book. So it's very intentional that, like, have you seen the movie Up? The Pixar film?
No.
One of the things I love about it is that it's very user definable. So it doesn't necessarily hit you with the heavy concept. As a parent, you could say that one thing was happening, but if you're really paying attention or you're an older audience, you know that another thing is happening. So it's not introducing concepts that kids aren't ready for or that parents don't want to talk about. So the same way in the Ghost Whisperers, ghosts appear, but we don't say exactly where they come from or what happened to them to get there. They're just spirits that show up that have to go from where they are to somewhere else. So it's very much designed to be like just scary enough, but not too scary, because it's very intentionally done for young readers.
Okay, interesting. So tell us about your cats.
So I had past tense two cats. I now have one. Sadly, my cat Mal, I had to let him go recently. He had cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, it was tough. They are my first cats. I had them for about 10 years. Halloween is the other cat. She is still around. For all I know, she'll hear me talking and try to make an appearance. She's a calico, orange and black and white, which is why she's called Halloween. And Mal is named after the character from Firefly, Mal Reynolds. They're both delightful and they have their own personalities. And then when I decided to do a comic about cats, I literally put them in the books. Part of it is because I just like, I know that they are not forever. And I wanted to have them memorialized in some way. I've actually put both of them in a My Little Pony comic as well. But in this book, they're actually the stars of the show.
That they are. So we're going to talk more about what The Ghost Whisperer is about and get into more details of it. But that aside, in talking a bit about The Ghost Whisperers, we're not going to leave it alone. But the cats in The Ghost Whisperers can see spirits. Do you think that cats have kind of a third sense about them, or sixth sense, I guess you'd say? Or a lot of people think they're kind of mystical creatures and they're aware of things that like humans are not, which is in the book. But do you believe that?
I don't. There's a certain amount of mysticism that I stay away from in my personal life. Like, I just don't want to get my hand too close to the buzzsaw and all of a sudden be haunted by something. Like, it may be there, but I don't need to find out. I think cats are very perceptive, and I think that they see things that we don't. I don't know if it's energy, or I know certainly my cats have picked up on emotions that I didn't think they would. At one point when it was very stressful in my house, Mal started hyper-grooming because he was getting stressed out too. Like, I appreciate that bond you have between you and your animal where they're picking up on your moods like that. I think there's more stuff in the world than what we see. I don't know how much of that cats see, but when I see them staring off watching, you know, cat TV, I always kind of wonder what they're looking at. And that's kind of where some of the ideas from the book came.
Okay. And cat TV, what is that?
Oh, someone used that as a term for me. It was actually the original title of the book. It was called Kit TV. It's the thing that happened when cats are staring at a space where there's nothing, but they're watching it like there's something there. So I was kind of filling in the gap about what they were seeing.
Well, my cats do that all the time, especially Molly. It's funny, I'll watch her. She's on the couch, but she's facing the cushion. There's nothing there. It's the cushion. And she's just staring at it. So now I'm going to think there's possibly something else there, because I believe that there's things that we don't always perceive. I mean, how do you explain when you get thoughts out of no place that just strike you? What is that about? Is that somebody sending you a message? Things that maybe you wanted to know for a long time, maybe your whole life, and all of a sudden you just get it then and there. And it could be in an obscure, as you're driving to the bank or at the grocery store, and you just get this thought and go, oh, that's how. Why did that happen just then, out of the blue?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens, like I think it bubbles underneath the surface, but I think there's also a lot of common stimuli that we all have. And I think I don't know if it's completely a collective unconsciousness, but I think that people are more connected than we know. I don't know. It's one of those things where you can see the tips of the waves sometimes, but you don't know all the mechanics of what's going on underneath the water.
Makes sense. Okay. So with The Ghost Whisperer, who's the main character?
There are three, really. There's Mal and Halloween, the cats, and then there's the boy, Daniel. And the cats wind up in a situation where they need help from the boy, and the boy is still young enough where the cats can talk to him if they want him to hear them. So he gets wrapped up in it, gets the ability to see ghosts as well, and then they help a number of spirits move from where they are when they get a little stuck to where they need to go. And part of the idea is that the spirit world is like one big ball of yarn, which is why cats get to guard it. So everything kind of clumps up. So he has a house that happens to be one of those big nodes where ghosts are going from where they were to where they need to be next. So they pass through the house. It was like, from a production point of view and from a storytelling point of view, it was a good way to have a six-year-old kid get involved with a lot of stories without having to contrive reasons for him to sneak out of the house. The biggest conceit in the book is that his parents sleep really well because he gets into a lot of adventures at night that they don't hear. But I wanted to have reasons for lots of ghosts to come to this particular house. So his family moves there from Boston. It takes place in Tacoma, Seattle area. And their house that they're in happens to be one of these nodes, and the cats take over because that's what cats do. It becomes their thing to police, and then they get into the situation where all of a sudden they need to bring Daniel in as well.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to talk about a few other topics that are, I think, really pertinent to children. We'll be right back.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth. And yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's favorite things list 7 years in a row. And there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Tom Zoller. He is a comic artist and writer, and we're talking about his new book,
The Ghost Whisperers.
So in the book, we just talked about the characters. Daniel's one of the key characters. He's a little boy. And you also brought in some interesting concepts because you talked about him, you know, in the book, there's him at school. So at 6 years old, you know, there's always certain things you could learn and understand. Why did you bring in what you brought in, like the sharing with the crayons and some of the other themes that you brought in? Is it teach children or have parents teach children or awareness?
I wanted Daniel to have problems that would relate to the problems that the ghosts were having to keep them from moving on. So everything was kind of a learning experience for him, but he was still at the level where the things he was learning were going to be important to the adventures that he was having. I also, since he moved there, he's very out of place. He's trying to find his rhythm with people. He's trying to merge in with this class of kids, but he's very much the outsider. So as a narrative technique, it becomes really interesting to make him see this world that he's not part of and isn't quite friendly to him and figure out how to get involved with it. So the problems that he has with kids worrying about sharing or how they deal with their brothers and sisters, anything like that, those all become things that he learns that helps him move the ghosts from one place to another. Because what'll happen is that when the ghosts appear, they're kind of stuck on something. So at one point, a brother and sister appear and they're fighting. And it's their fighting. They need to calm down so that they can move on. But Daniel doesn't have a brother or sister, but he sees enough other brothers and sisters having these kind of fights. That's what he brings to the adventure. And I tried to make it things that, while the cats are very good at their job and we see them actually take ghosts without Daniel's help, I wanted them to run into situations for, as much as we don't understand why cats do what they do, I don't think cats understand why we do what we do.
Nope, they sure don't. This is a really good book because I think it teaches children certain like life lessons as much as they can get it. What is the age range for this book, suggested age?
It's probably about 5 to 12, thereabouts.
Okay, so, yes. And I think we can get life lessons our whole life, but especially children need them. You bring in something at the very end. You bring in adoption, which is kind of heavy in a sense, you know? But, and, you know, in this day and age, and we're in mid-2025, there's all kinds of families. So I love that you brought it in. Why did you decide to bring in adoption at the end?
Oh, thank you. My nephew is adopted, and I wanted to tell a story for him as much as for anyone else. So I took that and how I felt about him and all the things I wanted him to know, and I wanted to put that in the story. So, like, while the story's for everyone, I very much wrote it for my nephew.
I love when it's personal like that. I have a nephew that's adopted, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very sweet ending without being sugary sweet. And I like that you brought in that concept and everything you did. Now, we're speaking to all listeners here. We all have cats. A lot of us have kids or some young people in our lives. What makes your book different that they should buy it?
I think that it has an awful lot of heart because the story is so personal, with it being my cats and essentially my nephew. And on top of that, I'm going to brag just a little bit because I worked on the My Little Pony comics. My Little Pony had a lot of lessons, but they were never cloying lessons. And I took from that as well that you learn stuff, but it's not that moment in 80s cartoons where people would sit down and say, well, what did we learn today, kids? It's very much, they're more natural. I think they're a little more nuanced. They're just a hair more realistic and crunchy and the kind of thing that you can really relate to without feeling like you're being preached at.
Yeah, well said. Very well said. What do you hope parents or the adults in a child's life, or say I were to give the book to my niece or nephew, grandson, granddaughter's too little, but give the book to them. What do you want parents to see as important in the book?
Oh, I want them, first of all, to have shared experiences with their kid. So to be able to share the book and have that commonality, because there's so much kids entertainment that's written specifically for kids that's almost off-putting to adults. So by writing something that I hope is intelligent and interesting and engaging enough where that even while it's for kids, the parents or the adults can enjoy it too, that's going to create a shared experience that they're going to be able to bond over. Like I said, that's also something that happened with My Little Pony, where those stories were, while they're very much written for a younger audience, they can be enjoyed by an older audience. So I wanted to bring that, and hopefully it deals with enough kind of problems and issues, like the small ones kids have about fitting in with a new group, that it gives them something that they can talk to each other about. And yeah, I just want to facilitate that kind of... There's someone I heard that said that it's not just about quality time with kids, it's about quantity time, because you only get the quality moments when you spend enough moments with them to have that. You can't manufacture, like, I will now have quality time with you. It's more, you need to be there a lot and then magic stuff happens. And I want to have things that help bring those moments about.
Oh, I love that. Now, from the kids' point of view, what do you hope the kids get from the book?
First of all, I hope they enjoy it because it's a fun story. I don't want it to feel like work. And I tried very hard to make sure that the kids are written like kids. Like, they should be able to see themselves and some things that they're going through in the kids in the story. So they're not like miniature adults. They're having kid length problems. You know, they lose a book. It's always fitting in with new people or making a new friend, any of that stuff where... I hope they see themselves reflected in it, and I hope it gives them a little more experience, like it broadens their thought. So like if you've never met someone who's adopted, it gives you enough to go on to know how loved those adoptees are and like some of the complications that come with either being adopted or what it took to be adopted or anything like that, where I want to give them a little more of a window into what the world is like in a friendly way to see how vast and textured and awesome it is.
Okay. And even though you bring in adoption, you have several other ghosts that we didn't even mention besides sister. And we're not going to go through all of them, but you also bring in a dog ghost.
Yes. I kind of felt like if the cats were intelligent, other animals would be intelligent. And there would also be animals that would pass through. There's a specific reason why the dog is attracted to them. It's not normal, because it establishes that normally animals are much easier to pass through to the next place, but something happens that causes a bit of a disturbance. And it also, one, it allows for a lot of humor. That's that particular chapter, I think, is one of the funniest. And it just kind of opens your mind to the way that the dogs are written very different than the cats. And I liked playing with that difference between those two different characters.
Okay. And what would you say to people that are listening and are at the hearing, I love cats, but there's talk about spirits and ghosts and stuff, and this might be too much for a little kid. How would you reassure them that this is a good book for your child? I didn't think it was scary, but I mean, I'm an adult, so I'm not the best one to judge in that point, but I think it's perfectly acceptable for a child. But what would you tell anyone who's thinking, I'm not sure, it says the word ghost, it's for a kid? I mean, there's other ghost things for kids, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's designed to be more magical than frightening or scary. Like, all the scary stuff is actually pretty low stakes. Like, things get knocked around at the house, or there are noises or drafts, but there's nothing where the kid ever feels like he's actually in danger. Those stakes were set up intentionally, but it's a magical fantasy universe that's built. So it's the kind of place where if a kid read the book, he would like to be in that universe, as opposed to a scary place where it's like, well, it's an interesting story, but I would not want to live there. Like, it adds a little magic to what's in your existing life. And it's set up to be, like Casper the Friendly Ghost or something like that, where it's, whether or not you think ghosts are real or any of that stuff, it's just that little magical add-on to the world that's out there to make it a little more interesting, a little more fantastic.
Okay. It's wonderful. I mean, it's written so well, and the drawing is amazing. How long does it take you to draw or illustrate a book like this?
I can draw a page a day. It's also a question of what other stuff is going on at the time. So, and she's through it. She's actually doing really well. But my mom was sick for a while during it, and that threw me off my pace. It probably took me about 6 to 9 months to actually get the book done from beginning to end once the script was approved by Storm King.
Well, I'm glad your mom is doing better. And
thank you.
You're welcome. That's pretty amazing, a page a day. Do you ever find yourself stuck when you're trying to dream up what the character should look like? Or in this case, I know you had your nephew in mind. So are his parents in the book too?
No, that would be my brother and sister-in-law. I didn't put them in, but I telegraphed some of the adoption stuff by not putting them in. So my nephew is still young enough where he's still developing a personality. So it was more the visual representation of him and just kind of his youthful exuberance rather than anything aside from the backstory, nothing so specific about him like that. So I didn't feel bad about not putting my brother and sister-in-law in there. And sometimes I do get stuck, but not for long. And I've been doing this long enough where I can either tell when it's something I'll figure out, or I can tell if it's something where I've done it wrong and I have to go back a couple steps. But a lot of times it's figuring out, like I was saying about when we were talking about the kind of collective unconsciousness thing, you realize that you need to take a break from it. So you find something else to do. One of the things that worked really well was that if I was really stuck on something or there was something that I'd written in the script that I didn't think was working, I still could finish inking and coloring and lettering the page before, and that'd take the rest of the day. And while you're doing that, your brain will go in all sorts of different directions. And hopefully by the time that day is over, you've actually figured out the problem that you're going to have to get to the next day.
A little bit of the writing mystique shared with us. So thank you. Do you have another book coming out with cats in the future, or would you like to?
I would love to do a sequel to Ghost Whiskers. That would be delightful. It depends on how well this one sells. I've got another pitch in with Storm King. I'm going to be drawing the Angry Birds comic, and I have a couple more romantic comedy comics coming out. I want to make sure that I'm doing it judiciously. Like, I'm not putting cats in it just because I really like cats and I want them in everything I'm doing. I'm trying to make sure that the story is the story is the story. But yeah, I would love to do more in this universe, and I'd love to figure out. One of the pitches I have is for something Egyptian, so there'd be lots of places where I can put cats in that as well.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. So let's tell everyone, where can people find your books, find out more about you?
So you should be able to find it on Amazon, but you can also go to stormkingcomics.com and get it there. Or you can go to my website, thomz.com. There's some weird stuff going on in the comics industry with distribution. So sometimes that gets a little glitchy, but you can go to Storm King or me directly. We have tons of copies. If you get them from me, they'll come signed.
Well, wonderful. I'd like to thank you so much for coming on Catitude, and I wish you amazing success.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
I hope you all enjoyed the show. The book is called The Ghost Whiskers for children from like 5 to 12. You can find out more at stormkingcomics.com or TomZ, that's spelled T-H-O-M-Z.com. What a great book. Thank you, Tom, for coming on the show. Thank you to everyone listening to Catitude. We are the top cat show on Pet Life Radio, and that says a lot. So thank you so much. And of course, a huge thank you to my cats, Dennis, Molly, and Charlotte. Molly, now I know why you watch a lot of cat TV, and I'm concerned a little bit. And a huge thank you to Mark Winter for making me and my guests sound amazing. Now remember, at least the attitude have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.